on the line now by Liam Horan, MD of Slieneagh Careers. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Aidan.
And welcome to the programme. An interesting email from CD this evening, Liam. I'm applying for a job in a rival company. I'm a salesperson and I'll be going into direct competition with my current employers if I get it. I don't want to give away too many trade secrets, but I still want to get the job. How do I handle the interview?
It's a great question. And there's a line there that this candidate has got to try and get just about right. So you can't go in there and be like the Irishman and mastermind who passed on the first three questions and his friend shouted up, "Good man, Paddy, tell them nothing." You can't try that one. You've got to give them reasons to hire you. But the danger here is, and this, a good interviewer could seduce you into a very warm, friendly, all of a sudden you have a new best friend nodding in agreement, telling you you're a great person entirely, and you sing like a canary, thinking you're doing the right thing. It might actually be the wrong thing. I would say discretion is the better part of valor here, in terms of, tell them about in broad strokes. Don't try to avoid real data that could, don't tell them exactly who your customers are. Don't tell them the turnover. Don't tell them exactly how your current company goes about chasing new customers, what strategies and what techniques they use. But tell them, do you have these strategies and techniques and that you are used to doing, the things that they want you to do. They should be able to read between the lines without getting you to reveal too much. What you really want to avoid is a situation that you provide them with loads of information and a few scenarios then unfold afterwards. One, they don't give you the job, maybe because they felt you were too free and easy with the information. And then you are, you've given your rivals a head start, which could make your own company's life more difficult in the future, but could also make your own life more difficult in the future as well. That's the first thing I'd say. And secondly, you create expectations that you might not be able to fulfill. Selling is tough. Don't, go in there promising sun, moon and stars. I think you need to be careful here. It's easy to get drawn into a very warm and friendly, and we're all adults here kind of conversation. I would be trying to show professionalism. I think they will value the fact that you show discretion. And if they come in a bit too close, you can say that way, as you can appreciate, I wouldn't be revealing things here that would be injurious to my current company, just as I wouldn't for you if I was working for you at some point down the line. And, if they come at you too hard and try and get you to sing, as I said, they're probably a company you want to be wary of in the first place, because there should be a professionalism about how they go about the interview. The other thing I'd say is, and we have to presume, I suppose, this email is from somebody living in Ireland. Ireland is a small country. Be very careful about interviewing for rivals unless you're very serious about it. And, for example, is there a job description? Have they advertised it? Is there definitely a vacancy? Are they just kind of taking out the fishing rod to see who's out there? Are they glad to have hooked you, for example, to bring you in? I would operate on the basis that something is going to get back to your employers. Now, that's okay if you get the job and you hand in your notice and you're gone. But if you don't get the job, I always just have this niggling suspicion, call me cynical, but that things get back, particularly in Ireland, it's such a small country, and this salesperson is working within a sector, obviously, and that sector will be small. Because everything in Ireland is small, So those are kind of my general views on it, Aidan.
There's a real risk, though, for CD in this, in terms of the interview, because on the one hand, he has to obviously answer the questions honestly and truthfully and to the best of his ability, but he also has an ongoing responsibility to his current employer. So, you could really land yourself in it in an interview like this. One misplaced or misanswered question, and you could be in great difficulty.
You could, and the rapport that can be built in the interview might be the very peak of the rapport you enjoy with this new company. If they don't give you the job and you're annoyed about that, or if they offer you the job and you don't take it, which often happens as well, because your own company you might be happier where you are, you might get a better offer where you are. Anything you say can be used again, and I think you need to be very careful. That's why I think the approach here is talk knowledgeably about your sector. Talk about, in broad strokes, as I said, about the customers, the key players, the other rivals. talk knowledgeably. You know, you can be knowledgeable without being gossipy. You can be knowledgeable without revealing the trade secrets, without letting everything out there. And, you know, try and stay at that level. You shouldn't have to work as hard as somebody who's not in that sector. You're working for a rival company. They'll have a sense of who you are already from seeing you around the place, so to speak. So you shouldn't have to, you know, kind of really roll up the sleeves and start producing great stats and facts and figures. I think in a case like this, and you could make that clear as well. I certainly would make it clear early on in the interview. Maybe, you know, not in a sort of drawing a white line on the ground and saying thou shalt not pass, but, you know, along the lines of, you know, this is unusual, I suppose. I hope you'll appreciate that probably are things today that I can't deal with. That's just how I am. I'm very discreet when I deal with my customers. I'm very discreet representing any employers I have. And in fact, now's a good time to say if I happen to get this job down the line, I will bring that level of discretion to this role as well. And I think at that point then, you know, away you go from there. As I said, if they try and drag you down beyond that, one, be wary within the interview, and two, I'd say be wary of any job offer that might come afterwards as well.
And Liam, is there a likelihood that within this individual's current contract of employment, there may be a provision which is related to secrecy, confidentiality, commercial...
And there are more and more often now, there are clauses coming into contracts about not working for competitors. And now some of these can be challenged, I'm sure, non-competitor clauses, but about not taking customers from your existing company to a new company. Again, probably hard enough to enforce all of that, but our friend here could find themselves mired in a drawn-out controversy. And, you know, generally, particularly because Ireland is a small place, trying to avoid burning bridges unnecessarily is not a bad idea. I'm not saying that you would, you know, prioritise that over getting this job. You might really want to get this job, but in that case, you know, you may have to burn a bridge when it comes to us. Your current employers are unlikely to be delighted you've gone there. I mentioned earlier on about is there definitely a job here? Was there a job advertised? I'd be very wary about the meet me for a chat in a coffee shop when we used to go to coffee shops, that is, and hopefully we'll again soon. I'd be very wary of that kind of a thing right in this situation. I think the company needs to be serious about having a position in the first place before you'd show any of your cards, and I'd be very wary of showing all my cards.
Indeed, so CD needs to be careful.
It reminds me, as I was talking there, about the 1996 All-Ireland Final replay when the row started and Liam McHale arrived thundering from miles up the pitch, and he was not unlike our friend here. He was a big fish arriving in their office when that happened, you know, and so is our man here or our woman here. If they, you know, when they go to this interview, they're coming with a lot of knowledge. They're a big fish, and I think when you're in that situation, you need to be very careful that you don't end up, you know, causing trouble for yourself on a number of fronts. In Lee McHale's case, unfortunately, he got sent off having been man of the match in the first game.
That's right.
And now it has to be said that the Mayo midfield, even without Lee McHale, played heroically that day. And we didn't lose it at midfield, put it that way. But I know for one, I would prefer to have Lee McHale there for the whole hour, the hour plus, you know.
And before we finish, since you mentioned Gaelic games, I'm sure you'll want to say something in relation to the news over the weekend that Keith Higgins is retiring from Gaelic football, inter-county football at any rate.
Yeah, and it looks like he may play on with the hurlers.
Yes.
That'd be great. And I think people will go and see the hurlers playing as well, also kind of a sense of duty to him as well, or a sense of appreciation of him, if we're allowed to go anywhere. I actually thought this was, well, maybe it's the cumulative effect of all of them going in the last few weeks, that the real feeling that, you know, a great team with magnificent players, you know, so many of them are now gone. Now, to me, the Mayo team evolves every day, every week, every minute almost, and there's no real lines in the sand when it comes to sport, that, you know, players have gone. Andy Morden went last year. Others went along the way. You know, it didn't all start and stop on the same day. There are different age groups within that. But I got a bad old touch when I heard that Keith was gone, because, you know, you think back on the games he has played, and he had incredible dimensions to his game. I mean, this player with Dublin Draft forward in the Ireland final was going great until Mayo got the injury in the full back line with Tom Kniff. He was just brilliant, and he had something that other players didn't have, that incredible turn of pace, that dummy the ability to go and buy players, but that relentless competitiveness. I mean, he was just non-stop competitive. And that's club, county, hurling, football, wherever he went at it very hard. You know, there are players walking the land with All-Ireland medals and two and three, and great players they are, who would not be as good a player as Keith Higgins, Chris Barrett. Thankfully, Colin Boyle has been averted. David Clark, you know, Shamie O'Shea, Donald Vaughan. And Keith Higgins was a Rolls Royce, you know. And it's really sad to see, you know, that so many great players go through and not have an All-Ireland medal. You know, it's just an enduring tragedy, really, for them in a sporting sense, you know. It's very, very, very sad, I think.
It certainly is, and no more than the other names that you mentioned there, he certainly has done the county a huge service over the last many years, indeed. We must leave it there. Liam Horan, as always, many thanks. That brings the time now.